This parasha, we learn about suffering. Suffering. This parasha Shmos is the parasha that teaches us the laws or the reality that we are in this world to suffer. Vayimoruru es chayehem b'avoida kasha b'choymer u'valaveinim. There are so many psukim in this week's parasha that mention the suffering of the Jewish people. V'chasher yi'anu oiso ke'yibeh v'chayifrot, but it says they were v'yasimu olav sorei misim l'man ano so b'siv lo son. Kei v'yavidu es b'nei yishol b'forech. And later in the parasha, it says Hashem hears the tza'oka. He sees their suffering. We find that the end of the parasha, we learn about the Koyish Kashlo Teven, by Yuku, they were hit, they were shaitre vine Yisrael, Asher Samu Aleim Noikse, Faro Leimar, Madu Lechlisem, Chokchem, Lilboin Kismol Shulshaim. They see Moshe Rabbeinu, and they say it in some very harsh words. They say to Moshe Rabbeinu, Yere Hashem Aleichem V'yishpoid Asher Hiv Ashtem Esreichenu. Okay, the exact translation of those words I don't know, but it doesn't sound too good. Hevashtem esreichenu, you brought upon us great grief and sorrow. Beinei faro ve'enei avodav loses cheref biyadam lihargenu. We've come to the point where they're just about ready to kill us. They did. They took all the firstborns. They threw them into all the babies. The babies, the male child children, they threw them into the Nile. So basically, in this parasha, from beginning to end, we learn about suffering. I have here one of the RJJ journals. This journal was published in fall 1996, and there's a chapter titled Whose Body? Living with Pain by Rabbi Alfred Cohn. Okay, now it's not directly related to the parsha. The theme of this article is about the rules and the issues of living end of life, basically end of life issues, where the patient is suffering. Are you allowed to pull the plug? Should a patient undergo a surgery in order to reduce pain if there's a risk that he will die prematurely? All of these various related issues, so I want to just go through some of the yesodas, some of the ideas. Nothing is, of course, halacha l'maisa. And Dr. Friedman is here, as you mentioned last time, there's no, what it says here is not necessarily the reality. What actually happens halacha l'maisa in a hospital or in a facility, an end-of-life facility, a hospice is not necessarily halacha, is not necessarily correlate to what it says in halacha. There's no situation that is a textbook situation. Every single situation is unique, but just kedai to throw out some of the yesodas, some of the issues which are used to deal with every unique situation. And the first yesod that comes out in this article from beginning to end, and every single page, this yesod jumps, leaps out of the pages of this article and in halacha, is the difference in attitude between an Orthodox Jew and the secular world, the entire America, and certainly other countries. And that is, who owns your body? Who is the owner? A person is in the hospital and he's in pain, and there's a question to be made. Should I have this procedure? Should I not have this procedure? Should I be taken to this facility, taken to that facility? Should we do this? Should we do that? Who is the one that's suffering? Well, I'm suffering. The patient is suffering. He's in pain. There's a question. Should this be done? Should that be done? Who's going to make the decision what should be done? Well, I own my body. I am the Baal Habas. I am the owner, the legal owner of my body. And if I don't want to do something, there is no one that can tell me what to do. If I want to put my life, I want to end my life at this moment in time, well, I'm the Baal Habas. I own my body. I can do whatever I want and no one can tell me to do otherwise. This, by and large, is the attitude, is the approach of the secular world. A person owns what?
Especially the liberal secular
world. No, the whole secular world. What's called it? Patient autonomy. Patient autonomy. Patient autonomy means, as far as I'm reading correctly, you own your body. Don't tell me what to do or not to do. I am the Baal HaBos. And therefore, if you take this to its natural, logical conclusion, if I want assisted suicide, if I feel that I am in pain, and the pain is intolerable, or I'm just not interested in fighting, enough is enough, I own my body, I can decide, I want to put it to an end, I want to end my life. And no one can tell me, oh, now...
Go read scripture, because it says,
we're not in halakha,
I'm talking... They say it's your
life, and you can do it everywhere. And that is why the trend in this country, even recently, some states are passing laws where they are legalizing, I don't know the exact terminology, physician assisted suicide. It's becoming legal. It already has become legal in certain states, and that's the trend. And it's all built on this foundation. You are the Baal HaBos. In this article, yeah,
almost capable.
Make a decision. So then, of course, if a person is not capable, then it comes to the family. So the family, they're the close of kin. They are the owners. I own this meat and potatoes. I own this flesh and blood. I will decide what should be done with this. If I want it to be put to come to an end, it will come to an end. This is the approach of the secular world. On the other hand, halacha, and this leaps out of the pages of this article, this is Kineged Kol HaTorah Kula. In halacha, for an Orthodox Jew, Torah observant Jew, the correct attitude is you do not own your body. Your body, your pain, your sensation, your feelings are on loan from the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's not yours. You have no right to make any decisions on your body. If you go, you rent a car, you lease a car, you have no right to take it into a paint job and to change the color of the car. You have no right to change the engine, to do anything. It's not yours. I rent this object. I leave. Your body is not yours. You have no right to make these decisions if you're in pain. So maybe you have to suffer. Maybe it's meant to be the suffering. Maybe not. Let's not get carried away. You want to end your life prematurely? I'm not in pain. I'm just uninterested. I'm not interested in taking every day 20 tablets to taking these medications. I feel fine with the medication. I can survive. I can go on. Everything is okay. I'm just not interested. Just there's nothing interesting to watch on television anymore these days. So I want to put it to an end. Okay, so this is in halacha. It's not your body. This is the. That's the whole article from beginning to end in a nutshell. This is the yisod, and therefore everything, the dynamics change. Now, what are some of the issues?
What about the other issues?
Yeah.
Pain.
Okay, so now let's go to the issue. Now, the issue over here, the big issue is pain. Now, let's just run through different things, different ideas. There appears in this article, there's a major machlokes between Rav Moshe Feinstein and Rav Shmuel Zalman Auerbach on one side, with the Tzitz Eliezer. Rav Eliezer Waldenberg.
Waldenberg.
He was nifted only a few years ago. My father used to love his Sfarim. He used to always read the Sfarim, quote from the Sfarim. Rav Moshe and Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach are very, very lenient with regard to pain. They are of the opinion that if a person is in a state of pain, he is within his rights, not his body. Let's not get carried away. A person is not allowed to end his life prematurely. But if he suffers, pain is such a significant consideration that a person is permitted to demand that medication be stopped and life support and all different things which are being done to give a person to keep him alive come to an end in order that he should die, so he should stop feeling pain, even if the pain is tolerable. And the example gives a shocking example here. There's a person, a woman that was very sick, and they were going to do surgery, and the surgery would result in she would be paralyzed. She would be paralyzed in a significant way. You can't generalize. Every single case is different. Just throwing out generalities. And this woman says, you know what, it's not kedai. I'd rather just die already. I'd rather die I should remain the rest of my life in such a matzah, where I would be paralyzed in such a horrible way. it's so horrible, it's too frightening for me. Rav Moshe says she's within her rights. She's within her rights, she can deny surgery.
That's Sheval Tassif.
Sheval Tas, of course, that's a given. That's a davar pashut admo. You're not allowed to go kill the person. You should know that even that's not so simple. Some hold you can actually pull the plug lechatchila. We'll get that in a moment. But this certainly, Rav Moshe and Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. Now, not only Rav Shlomo, he addressed exactly this case, but Rav Moshe goes so far to say that he says that for a person to live like this in such a matzif of being completely paralyzed, even though you're alive, is not a life. It's not a life, and she's within her rights 100%. What? It's not a cure of disease. There's no cure for this. It's not a cure of disease. But she'll be alive. She'll be alive for another few years. For another few years. And it's not a physical pain. Take note of that as well. It's not a physical pain. It's just a state of being. It's a state of being which in a person's mind is just so horrible. And it's so depressing. So, Moshe says, according to halacha, you are within your rights to demand that you be left alone and just naturally die earlier than you otherwise would have been had you have gone through this surgery, which would have definitely prolonged your life. All of these things, but you're not mechuyev. And the raya he gives is one of the main rayas he cites is from the Gemara Masechet Ksubos that talks about Hananya, Mishael, VaAzaria. Hananya, Mishael, VaAzaria were willing to give up their life. They were thrown into the Kivshan Shal Eish to die in order to Mekadesh Shem Shemaim, not to bow down to Nebuchadnezzar, to bow down to his idol. The Gemara and Tosfos elaborate upon this point. Do you know why they were able to do this? Because it was instant death. They were thrown into a Kivshan Shal Eish. But had they been tortured, they would have bowed down to the idol. Because torture, in other words, pain, is worse than death. This is a very important insight. Tosfos says this, based really from the Gemara. Tosfos and Gemara and Ksubos, the Yisod, pain is worse than death.
It's not even a choice. I've had kidney stones. Have you ever had kidney stones or anything like that? It's...
Okay, so the pain is worse. Pain is worse. Therefore, Rav Moshe says, what are the options? What are the options? The options are death. The person will die in the short term, or the person will live on for a prolonged period of time in a state of pain. And pain does not only mean physical chronic pain. It means mental anguish, to be in such a state where until now in life you had ability, mobility, and you had your whole life, and now you're just going to be lying in a bed and looking at the ceiling for the rest of the day, and the person makes a conscious, I don't want that, that's called pain. That is worse than dying. And therefore, the Gemara says, pain is worse than death. You're allowed to choose death, as long as, of course, it's done in. This is the Shita of Rav Moshe. And it seems that Rav Yashiv of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach was in agreement with this. Rav Waldenberg is very, very strong in his disagreement with this Psak Halacha, with this Achidish, with this Halacha. And he holds that a person, going back to the Yesod, it's not your body. You have your body on loan, even though you're going to be in pain. Now, of course, he also agrees that pain, you know, you have to know what pain means. You have to, but the person will be alive. They're not going to be in a physical state of pain. It's obviously going to be anguish. I don't know where you draw the line, because everyone at some point in time has to make that distinction. But he holds the threshold of pain is pushed way, way to the other extreme, all built on this yesod. It's not your body. You're not the balabas. You're not the balabas. You have no right to make these decisions. Okay, but let's go to another issue. Another, just throwing out issues. Person, this is very common. It seems like this happened.
I just want to make one comment. Pain is a very subjective.
Okay.
Sure. You know.
In the Hanami.
Well, I'll just give you an example. You check for water in the legs. You press on the leg. Some people are so sensitive. You do that to a 100 people, you don't get a reaction.
One person.
People, they scream like you're murdering them. Those are the people who come to you with
okay.
pain all the time.
Okay.
I need medicine, I need this, I need
pain that. Management.
Yeah. Right. And other people.
Right. Everything is theoretical. But you just see you see a perspective. We just want to point out that you take this yesod, which is the yesod. It's not your body. It's not your body. And now the question is, okay, it's not my body, but there's a Tosfos, just you saw this. There's a Gemara. The Gemara says pain is worse than death. Which means when you have a choice of pain over death, you're allowed to choose death over pain. Now the question is, take that yesod with what we said that it's not your body. Where do you draw the line? Rav Moshe and Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, they're very generous. We don't put up an argument. If you want to make the decision, so be it. Rav Waldenberg says, no, you persuade a person, you really work with the person to the most that you possibly can to convince him it's not your body, you're making the wrong decision. Are you really thinking this through correctly? And there's no textbook case, every case, but it's just a different point of view. So let's go to another scenario, which is very common. Rav Moshe brings a very fascinating raya from one of the Haftorahs we read, from Sefer Melachim. We read this every year, Parashah Sidah Romem Tazriya Mitzara. This is a common scenario. A person is very, Rachman al-San is very sick, and the doctors tell him, this is the following story. We can do with you an experimental procedure, operation, but there are great risks involved. If we do absolutely nothing, we leave you the way you are, I'm just making up nonsense, just telling them, you'll live for another 2 years, another year. Let's say you live for another year. You'll live for another year, another 2 years. If we do this treatment, this experimental treatment, sometimes it really works, and you'll be cured, and you won't die. At least I don't know what's going to be in 2 years from now. You know, you're going to get hit by a car, but al derech hateva, you'll live at least another 10-20 years. But some people, they die on the table, on the operating table. Okay, this I imagine is the mitzias. If we do nothing, the statistics are you're going to live for another 2 years. If we do this technique, so what happens is some people, they're cured and they'll live 10 years, and some people, they'll die right away. This technique, this procedure, this medication caused the disease to accelerate and they'll die right away. It's your decision. Do you want to take the risk? Okay, think of this scenario. So this question was posed to Moshe Feinstein. What do you do in this situation? Of course, the person says, I want to take the risk. I want it. So if you don't want to take the risk, Shev Al Tasa, you always can do. The Chayla knows best. That is the Shulchan Aruch. The Chayla knows exactly what he feels best. He makes a decision and he says, I don't want to do nothing. Of course, you leave him alone. But in this situation, the question was posed to Moshe. The Cholik says, I want to take the risk. My question is, I'm a religious person. I'm a Torah Jew. What does Halacha say? When a person wants to take the risk in Halacha, is he allowed to take the risk? Because it's not my body. It's not my body. The body belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. By me...
Experimental, it's not
what
it is guaranteed.
Whatever, this is all theoretical. It's all theoretical, percentages, it's experimental. Let's say that it was done already 10 times. And five of the patients, there were 10 patients that had exactly the same thing done to them. Same situation. Five patients died on the operating table, and five patients lived on for another 10 years. So we don't know, you're part of the statistics, and we don't know, these are the risks.
Can't you say, since it's Rabban Shlom's body, not you?
Yeah.
But take a chance, Rabban Shlom wants me to live.
That's the question.
I don't want.
You have to work with the teva, with nature. You're adding chemicals into a person, you're doing a procedure, you have a right to make decisions. But the question is, I'm willing to take the risk, but maybe according to the halacha, I'm not allowed to take a risk. If you have a car, and you have exactly the same situation, I'm willing to bet that the one who you were leasing a car, and now you want to go do, you wanted to bring it to a mechanic, and the mechanic wants to go put a part in the engine, that sometimes the engine will collapse, will explode, and sometimes the car will last for another 50 years. I think most cases the owner of the car will tell you, well, it's not your car, it's not your car. Don't make the decisions. No thank you. So if it's not your body, what is the halacha? Shad Moshe said, the Torah says, I'll bring you a raya, that the Torah, according to halacha, allows you to take the risk. A very simple raya from the Arboha Mitzoyroim. In Parshas Mitzoyro, the after part, we read in the Sefer Melachim, where there was an entire city of Jews who were starving to death. There was a siege from Aram, I have to brush up on my Aram, they were starving to death, and they were four Mitzrayim, and they said, you know, if we remain in the city for another couple of days, we're all going to die from starvation. If we go out of the city and we explore, one of two things are going to happen. They're going to kill us instantly. The moment the enemy detects us, we're dead. But maybe we'll get lucky, we'll find food. If we'll find food, we'll be able to survive for a much longer period of time for us and for the entire tzibur. So it's exactly the same situation. We want, if we do nothing, we'll at least live for another week. Hashem gave a person the gift of life, Chayesha. A week of life is a week of life. You come into this world for one moment, you're guaranteed to have a chelik in Olam Haba. Another week of life is a week of life. If we go outside the city, we may forfeit our lives in a moment, which we're losing a week of life, or we may be successful, we'll be able to live for a long period of time, we'll find food. So this dilemma was presented in words by the Arba Mitzrayim. And what did they do? They went and they took the risk. So Rav Moshe says that this has been taught to us in Nach. It's obviously a legitimate approach to in Halacha, and it's mutter. So this is, he holds la halacha, this story in the Haftarah of Parashas Mitzrayim, la halacha is a proof to the halacha that when a person is faced at the end of life with such a dilemma, he is lechatchila allowed to take this risk. It is within the guidelines of halacha.
Who said that this is the right thing?
What?
Yeah, right. How do we know this?
So Rav Moshe says, that's the chiddush of Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe says that since the entire conversation was expressed in detail, Rav Moshe says that this is an indication that this is a correct approach in life. Otherwise, they would not have told us all the details. All the details would not have been related in Sefer Melachim. That's what Rav Moshe's chiddush. That is his opinion. Okay, now let's go to another idea. Now we are all, there's a halacha. There's a halacha that ein doich in nefesh. This is going a little bit off the topic, but it's still related to these inyanim. Ein doich in nefesh ben nefesh. Let's talk about a situation. Rav Moshe in 1968 wrote a very famous tshuva on heart transplants. In 1968 was the first time when it became popular or became known about doing a heart transplant. And Rav Moshe wrote that doing a heart transplant is a double murder. Yeah. It's a double murder. You're murdering the donor, and you're murdering the recipient. The person who's on his deathbed, his heart is beating, right? So the doctors say you only have a couple of weeks left, the heart's on its last leg, so you only have a couple of weeks left to go, and there's a person there's a person, the donor, who's, let's say, partially brain dead. Let's say he's not totally brain dead. He's not conscious. So we want to take a heart out of him and put it in this person. Rav Moshe says you've murdered two people. You've murdered the person, the donor, because he's still alive, and you're taking out his heart. Let's say he's not brain dead. You're taking out his heart. And the person, the patient, is very sick. You know, at least to live for another 2 weeks. By taking out his heart and giving him someone else's heart, the chances are, and in those days, when he wrote the tshuva, 90% of the people would actually die. It was a very great risk. So he said, this is nonsense. Okay, that was 1968. A lot has changed since then. Since then, it's the success rate is off the charts, and it's an entirely different world. Okay, but let's look at some of these sodos to these issues. So again, just to throw out ideas, nothing is halacha l'maisa, just interesting ideas. This all comes from, a Gemara in Masechta Sanhedrin. If an enemy conquers a city, or they siege a city, and they say, there's one person in the city, oh, we have a city of a million people, and there's one person that we want, there's one terrorist that we want, throw him over the wall, send him out. And if you throw him over the wall, we'll let you all live. All you 1 million people will live. But if you don't throw that terrorist, his head, over the wall, the one that we want, that person that we want, then you know what? We're just going to drop a bomb on the whole city and we'll kill 1 million people in one shot. So the Gemara says, a shocking Gemara, the Gemara says, all the 1 million people in the city, I'm just inflating the numbers, have to die. You're not allowed to give up the life of one person in order to save other people. Ein doichin nefesh benefesh. If they want an innocent person, I told you a terrorist, that's not a good example. If they are demanding an innocent person, for some reason they don't like him. They just didn't say good morning to the enemy. They didn't like him, they want an innocent person. You're not allowed to give up an innocent person in order to save other people. This is called ein doichin nefesh benefesh. If we have in front of us two people, people, two people, and one person has a good heart, and one person has a good heart, and one person has a weak heart, right? One person has a good heart, one person has a weak heart. You have no right to say, you know, we don't like you, you're not such a good guy, we're going to put you on the table, take out your heart and give it to someone else. That's nonsense. Ein doichen nefesh benefesh. We don't do that. Now, the question is, what happens if a person that's alive, again, we're not discussing brain death, we're talking about a person that is, that in halacha is alive, his brain stem is active, there is circulation, he's alive, but he's in a coma that he will never come out of. There is so much brain damage, he will never recover. His quality of his life is obviously a very poor quality of life. And now we have this young, healthy person that has his whole future ahead of him. So, question is, can we take out the heart of this person who is in a coma that will never come out of the coma? He's halakhically alive, according to all opinions, but he's never, the doctors, the brain damage is so severe it's never going to recover. Take out his heart in order to give life to another person. So what are you going to tell me? Ein doichin nefesh benefesh. You're not allowed to terminate the life of one person for someone else. This is the Gemara in Sanhedrin. You're not allowed to throw a person over the wall in order to save someone else. So you'd be shocked to know that the Minchas Chinuch says, that's not the case of the Gemara. The case I just presented to you is not the case. The Minchas Chinuch says, we also take into account the quality of life. It's a shocking chiddush of the Minchas Chinuch. It's a shocking chiddush that if this person is already half dead, meaning that he's not conscious, and his life is anyway going to die. He's anyway going to die in a short period of time. He's halakhically alive, and we want to go take his life away in order to save a healthy, robust person. Then the Gemara doesn't say, in the Gemara's case, we have a person. Everyone is in the same category. My chazis, the damach. What do you see that your blood is redder than this person's blood? Well, in this instance, this person's blood is redder than this other person's, because this other person is brain damaged. He's not going to live. He's not going to live anymore for a long period of time. So the Minchas Chinuch says, in this instance, you are allowed, shocking thing, you're allowed to terminate the life of one person in order to save the life of someone else. The Noda B'Yehuda, who lived in the year like 1750, yeah, like in the 18th century, he says this Minchas Chinuch is false. This Minchas Chinuch is a chiddush that doesn't make one bit of sense, and I never in my life heard someone say such nonsense. The rule of Ein Doichin Nefesh B'Nefesh is categorical. You don't judge any, as long as in halacha you're alive, that rule applies.
Titanic going down.
Yeah.
You only have 20% of the lipo.
Who should get the lipo? Yeah. So if you take the Minchas Chinuch Yesod, you do make an evaluation based upon your best judgment. If a young person has a whole future ahead of them, maybe there's an argument to say, maybe yes. Who's to decide? Okay, I don't know.
Indeed,
the Malchus. So he actually talk about that. That if the government makes such decisions, then yes, indeed, the government can make such. There is an approach. He has such an approach. Now, the truth is,
what about the guy whose head they want? Can he volunteer?
Oh, I'm coming down in a moment. Now, the truth is, this is really a Gemara. It's really, the Gemara talks about what the Minchas Chinuch says. Okay, the Minchas Chinuch talks about exactly the case, about a treifa. Okay, and the Noda B'Yehuda says, I have never heard such a thing in my life. The truth is, he quotes, Rabbi Cohn quotes, that the Gemara Masechta Nedarim actually says a case just like the Minchas Chinuch. The Maaseh there was where Ula was once traveling with a group of people, and a bunch of bandits attacked the group, and they took out a knife and they began to kill one person. The person was already half dead. And he took a knife, he slit the throat of one of the people that was together with Ula. And then the bandit said to Ula, Ula, what do you think of this? Am I doing the right thing? Am I doing the right thing by killing this person? So Ula said, the Gemara Masechta says, yes. Excellent. You're doing the right thing. If Ula would have said, how dare you, number one, they would have killed Ula, But on the other hand, this is what he says, this is the Gemara, you have to look, so this is how he's explaining the Gemara, with the coin of Moshe, he rings over Rav Moshe, how he interprets the Gemara, it's all, if he would have said, what are you doing, he at least would have delayed the death of the victim. The person was not yet totally dead. He was being stabbed. If Ula would have made a macha, Ula would have certainly been killed, but at least there would have been the benefit that the victim would have lived for a few more moments. A few more minutes, a few more moments. There would have been a delay. And the fact that Ula went ahead and says, yes, yes, it's a good thing what you're doing, shows that you are allowed to eliminate, to terminate the life of one living person in order to save the other person. If you're in a category, this person has already been stabbed, he's going to die anyway. It's fatal. Just the matter is he going to die in a minute or going to die in 10 minutes. By Ula, Ula's going to do something now which is going to accelerate. It's going to cause the death of the person to happen earlier in order to save his life for a much longer period of time. So you do see in the Gemara some precedent to this concept that we do take into account. We do take into account that not everyone's blood is the same shade of red. Some people have blood that has more intensity than others. You see the Gemara, you see the Chishon Min Chaschanich. Now, I want to add to that what Dr. Friedman said. Let's go back to the case of Masechta Sanhedrin. The city is surrounded, and they're about, the city is surrounded, and they're about, we're out of time, the city is surrounded, they're about to kill everyone. You're not allowed to give over the person, but can the person himself volunteer? Volunteer. The answer doesn't say it's beferish anywhere. This is a controversial thing, but the answer basically is yes.
Volunteer.
Lunyos and Papios with the Roman, yes, in Echnami. That's part of the riot. A person, that's the riot wire. The person is allowed to volunteer his life. I want to give up my life. I want to give up my life in order to save. So even though it doesn't say in the Gemara, we learned Chazal say, yes, you are allowed to give up your life in order to save someone else's, in order to save another person's life. Now, so I want to point out, this could result, if you would combine the Minchas Chinuch with this, it would result in a very interesting Chiddush, which is extremely controversial, and that is to sign your license, and this is not Halacha L'maaseh, remember, this is not Halacha, this is just to throw out ideas. There's a very big issue to a person being organ donor. Should you sign the doctor license that in the event the person is in a state where he's not conscious, where he's terminal, that they should take out, harvest his organs in order to let other people to live. So basically, it's suicide. In halacha, it's suicidal, because in 99% of the time, I don't know 90 numbers, but most of the time, the only time they can take the organs out of a person to be a donor is when halachically, without even going into brain death, halachically the person is still alive. The person can be, his brain can be functioning, but legally you're now at a state where there's so much damage you're not going to live very much longer. What?
Yeah, we take organs in a person to declare brain death, they don't take out organs.
Okay, well, that's a different issue. A kidney. Okay, but let's talk about the person who is fatal, a person who's terminal. Let's not focus on taking on the organs of a living person with extra kidney, things like that. Let's talk about a person who is in a matzav where he's going to die in a week, but halacha he's alive. According to many, every situation is different. There are many situations, secular law, he is a prime candidate to harvest his organs. According to halacha, are we allowed on our own to go to this person? Okay, your life is not worth very much. You only have a week to live, and there are people, young people, who need your organs to live a full life. So we're going to terminate your life now in order to save someone else's life. So first of all, the Minchas Chinuch says you can do that, right? The Minchas Chinuch says that we do make a judgment call. Halacha l'maisa, another people says this is not. Don't go. This is, we don't accept. But another he says we do that. Second of all, add to the calculation that halacha, if the person himself was alive and would say, I want to volunteer, I want to give up my life in order to save someone else's life. The entire city is surrounded. Everyone's going to die unless I give up my life. You're allowed to give up your life. So the person, when he is alive, he signs on his license that if I am in a state where I'm terminal, even though I'm halachically alive, I give you permission to harvest my organs so other people can live. In other words, I'm giving you permission for physician-assisted suicide. Isn't that really what it is? Because according to halacha, you're still alive. You're still alive. According to halacha, there's no question the brain is fully functional, but I want to give up my life because my life at this point in time is of poor quality in order to allow someone else to exist. You have two different major posts that are seemingly saying that it's permitted. It's permitted. What? No, you're not allowed to do it against their will. Are you allowed to go and say, listen, they're going to kill the whole city, so we have no choice but to throw you over the wall. Sorry, buddy. That's just the way it is. Are you allowed to do that? No, don't throw me over the wall. I don't want to die. But we're all going to die. Too bad, so we'll all die. I'm not going. I'm not allowing myself to be given over for Misa. Are you allowed to force that person to give up his life? No. So are you allowed to go to a person who's terminally ill and say, sorry, your life isn't really worth very much, so we're going to kill you now so we can take your heart and give it to someone else? Are you allowed to do that to that person? No. But if the person himself said, I give you permission, I volunteer, look at my driver's...
They can't do it unless it's a brain thing.
See that by Yonah, right?
They do it today. What?
He was not innocent, Yonah. Yonah was not innocent.
Well, that was Ben Hashemai. Okay, so this is now. Okay, just to conclude, so the L'Choy would come out that there is grounds to permit people to volunteer. They don't do it Bisman Hazeh. They say brain dead. They don't mean halachically brain dead. In the hospitals, they'll harvest organs when people are what they're already terminal. Correct. What do they have to do to harvest organs? Brain dead? Halachic brain dead?
Keep the body on a machine until they...
Mamish halachic brain dead?
They don't take organs out of
it. But what do we call brain dead? There's different distinctions of brain dead. There's different levels of brain dead. Not all, there are different types of brain dead. Okay, but according to some... Okay, let's go a step further. According to many poskim, even if you're brain dead, you're still alive. That we discussed. Rav Aaron Soloveitchik calls brain death means nothing. As long as your heart is beating, you are called halachically alive. So according to Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, you're basically never allowed to be an organ donor. An organ donor, because you're terminating your life prematurely. But the answer is that's not absolute. We're not allowed to force it out of the person. But if the person, when he was alive, he would sign his license and say, when I am in this state and I am halakhically alive, according to Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, I am alive, I demand that there be done physician-assisted suicide in order that someone else should live on. That's exactly what it says.
The machine is keeping the person alive.
Okay, so so you say it can be done. And in order to add to that is that you also have the Gemara Masechta Nedarim, and you have Ula, you have the Minchas Sinach that says that we do make a judgment call that your life is inferior relative to someone else as a chance for a long life. You are allowed to take out. Okay, to conclude, pain is a very big issue where a person is allowed to deny, to demand that treatment be stopped. The question, what about cosmetic surgery? This is a very interesting issue. Cosmetic surgery, a person has, it's not a physical pain, it's a certain shame, or a person, good feeling about yourself. Are you allowed to undergo surgery, which involves danger, involves real, it's not my body, I have no right. Remember, going back to that, you sold. So this is the big machlokes ha'poskim. The minhag ha'olam unquestionably is to be makel, to do whatever you want to do. No, don't even ask a shayla. But you should know that Rav Waldenberg, he is extremely machmir.
That sounds like the almost opposite.
What?
So cosmetic surgery, it's your body, but for life and death issues, it's not your body.
Rav Waldenberg says you're not allowed. No, Rav Waldenberg says you're not allowed. No, it's consistent. You're not allowed. Waldenberg says no. Rav Waldenberg is consistent. He holds. He holds that it's not your body. Don't touch it. Don't bother.
Organization is an organization called HOD.
Yeah.
HOD.
Yeah.
Halachic organ donation.
Halach organ. Okay, I didn't do any research, but I just want to point out some of the yesodos. Obviously, these are going. I think that they work. If I'm not mistaken, this if they don't tell you all the literature. They work. I think Rav Tandler. They work with a different svara, and they work with that. It's not fair. For us, it's not fair for us to take and not to give.
What's part of it? That's not the whole thing.
Okay, not...
Who does halacha l'maisa that they will pull the plug?
Whirlpool. So he brings such a shita. Yeah, every case is different. Like you said, every case is different. There are places that say if a person is suffering, you can even pull the block. Really, it's a Ramah. The Ramah seems to say you can do it. The Ramah in Yeridea says if a person is dying, in ancient times they would put on the tongue salt. Person is a geises. So listen, they put on the tongue, the person is a geises. He's about to die. They want to keep him alive. So they put salt on his tongue, very strong salt, which irritates him, which keeps him alive. And the person is suffering. So the Ramah says you can take off the salt to let him die.
But if the person says, I don't.
What do you mean, I don't? I don't want you to take off the salt?
No, I don't want...
So Louis, look at this question. Taking off the salt, l'chari, is exactly the same thing as pulling the plug.
Right, and if a person says...
And the Ramah says you can take the salt off the tongue to let him die, it's no different than pulling the plug and letting him die. Right? Isn't that the Pashtus?
But even if he doesn't...
That's the Pashtus. What?
Even if he says, I don't want...
What do you mean, I don't want? I want to live?
Yeah.
No, then you're not allowed. Then of course not. If he says, keep the salt on my tongue, keep the salt. Let's say he's not conscious. Let's say he's not conscious. He's not conscious. According to Rav Moshe, Rav Moshe also says a very big chiddush. Rav Moshe says, this is a very big chiddush, every goseis is considered to be in pain. Even if the doctors tell us, because Rav Moshe, I don't know if everyone agrees to this, the doctors tell us he doesn't feel a thing. There's so much morphine in his blood, there's no way in the world he knows what's going on. He doesn't feel a thing. And we know people that have come back from the dead that have told us this. They don't feel a thing. Rav Moshe says halacha does not make a distinction. A person who is a goises in halacha is considered to be in pain, in tsar. And therefore, that has to be taken into account in the equation of what pain is worse than death. Sometimes death is better than pain. So just because you're going to tell me he's on morphine, he doesn't know what's going on, doesn't feel a thing. If you're a geises, you're automatically halachically in pain in tsar. That's part of the equation. But the Ramah says, take the salt off the tongue. Take the salt off the tongue results in, a few moments later, he's dead. Pulling the plug, l'chor is no different. He's on artificial support, so pull the plug, the artificial support falls away. He goes, halacha l'maisa, we don't do that. Halacha l'maisa, he quotes in the footnotes, no poisek today will take responsibility to pull the plug, but it's not necessarily. And when you have unusual circumstances, like you say, every case is different, you can't tell the person you did the wrong thing by pulling the plug. It's not necessarily us, sir. Okay, we'll stop here.